Numbers chapter 19. Numbers chapter 19. We're going to begin with verse number 11. Numbers chapter 19. And let's begin with verse number 11. He that toucheth the dead body of any man shall be unclean 7 days. He shall purify himself with it on the third day, and on the seventh day he shall be clean. But if he purify not himself the third day, then the seventh day he shall not be clean. Whosoever toucheth the dead body of any man that is dead, and purifieth not himself, defileth the tabernacle of the Lord. And that soul shall be cut off from Israel, because the water of separation was not sprinkled upon him. He shall be unclean, his uncleanness is yet upon him. This is the law. When a man dieth in the tent, all that come into the tent and all that is in the tent shall be unclean 7 days. And every open vessel which hath no covering bound upon it is unclean. And whosoever toucheth one that is slain with a sword in the open fields, or dead body, or bone of a man, or a grave, shall be unclean 7 days. And for an unclean person, they shall take of the ashes of the burnt heifer for purification for sin, and running water shall be put thereto in a vessel. And a clean person shall take hyssop and dip it in the water and sprinkle it upon the tent and upon all the vessels and upon the persons that were there and upon him that touched a bone or one slain or one dead or a grave. And the clean person shall sprinkle upon the unclean on the third day and on the seventh day. And on the seventh day he shall purify himself and wash his clothes, bathe himself in water, and shall be clean at even. But the man that shall be unclean and shall not purify himself, that soul shall be cut off from among the congregation, because he hath defiled the sanctuary of the Lord. The water of separation hath not been sprinkled upon him. He is unclean. And it shall be a perpetual statute unto them that he that sprinkleth the water of separation shall wash his clothes, and he that toucheth the water of separation shall be unclean until even. Whatsoever the unclean person toucheth shall be unclean. And the soul that toucheth it shall be unclean until even. Message tonight, clean up time. Let's pray. Bless, Lord, tonight as we come to your word. We thank you for these songs that have been sung, and we trust that the Lord has been glorified and that the Lord has been uplifted. We pray that he would be seen tonight, and Lord, that your word would be magnified above all, and that we would learn from it, and that we would put it into practice and apply it into our lives. We thank you for the spirit that you have placed within us, Lord, that challenges us and convicts us and calls us, Lord, to repentance and continually to come to a right standing with you. Pray that tonight that you will speak to each one that is here. And if any have been unfaithful or if any had gotten away, that tonight through your word and, Lord, through the testimony of your people, they would see that they need to get more faithful, need to get back in service. To the lost that are here, Lord, that need the Lord Jesus Christ, we know that only the Spirit can convict them. Lord, help us, Lord, to be a good witness to them. Help us to show Jesus Christ to the world, and that they may see that there is a hope that is in our hearts, and we would have an answer when they would question about it. I don't know each one, Lord, but I know that there are many here tonight that have requests, unspoken requests, and the prayer list of this body. I pray that you will bless each one, even those that could not be here this evening, for whatever the case may be. We know you understand and know all the situations. I ask that you will be gracious and helpful in each one. Bless now our time of study, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Cleanup time. Now, this passage is about a daily walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. At least that's how we're going to apply it. That's how we're going to be able to see this. That's what revival is all about. Revival's not for the lost. They've never had a life to begin with. If you're here tonight and you're lost, you don't need revival. You need spiritual life that is given in Jesus Christ. And that's the only hope that you have. You need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ in real repentance and faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. But to us who are here, who are believers, this passage is a challenge to us tonight to clean up, be faithful, be consistent, be steady in the Word of God, and continually be on guard for our testimony in our lives. Number one, let's talk about this ordinance. Okay, number one, the ordinance. To touch a dead body would make someone unclean. Okay, that's the passage that begins in verse number 11. Anyone that would touch a dead body shall be unclean. Now, let me go back and let me show you why this is given here. This is kind of odd, but let's go all the way back. Numbers chapter 14. And I want to show you where this ordinance comes into play. All right, this ordinance of the ashes and sprinkling water of the red heifer. Back in Numbers chapter 14, we have a familiar passage of Israel's unfaithfulness and not possessing the land. I'm not going to read all of it, but we're going to jump all the way down to verse 28, Numbers 14, 28. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness. And all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which ye have murmured against me, doubtless ye shall not come into the land, concerning which I swear to you to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness. We know this story, so I'm not going to really take a lot of time to rehearse this. Their unfaithfulness causes each one 20 years old and above to lose their life in the wilderness. Through wandering for 40 years, those above 20 years old will not see this promised land. How many people is this? Turn back to Numbers chapter number 1. How many people are we talking about? Numbers chapter 1. I'm reading these verses to base our introduction upon. Numbers chapter 1, everyone over 20 years old will die. How many people is this? Numbers 1, verse 45. Numbers 1, verse 45. So were all those that were numbered of the children of Israel by the house of their fathers from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth in war, or to war in Israel. Even all they that were numbered were 600,350. 603,550. That does not include women. That does not include the elderly. And that does not include the Levites. Think about that. 603,000, not including the elderly, not including women, not including the Levites. 603,000, simply men of war. Now, if you were to just look at that number, the Lord has said that no one over 20 years old is going to be able to inherit this land. If you were to wander in the wilderness for 40 years, that number, 603,000, that averages out to 40 funerals every day. If there were as many women, that's 82 funerals every day, every single day. Death is going to be something that every family in Israel is going to taste of. Each family will lose their parents, each father. Each one is going to be lost in the wilderness. And that's why when you come to Numbers chapter 19, if you'll get back there. Numbers chapter 19. We understand already from the book of Numbers that death is going to be something that each one of these families is going to face. Many families will face multiple deaths. Brothers will be lost, sisters lost, parents lost, grandparents, thousands upon thousands. But you come down in verse number 11 and he says that everyone that touches an unclean body is going to be unclean. Verse 11, he that toucheth the dead body of any man shall be unclean 7 days. This uncleanness was a defilement wherewith they had to cleanse themselves. And without cleansing themselves, they could not fully serve the Lord in the tabernacle the way that they should. According to verse 22, everything that an unclean person touched become unclean. I mean, they had to get cleaned up because if you touch the body of a dead person, you're unclean. Now, here's where this comes in. What am I supposed to do? Bible says the Lord says, if I touch the dead body, if I'm even in the same tent, if I'm even in the same tent with a dead person, I'm going to become defiled and unclean. But listen, this is something that everyone is going to have to face. Everyone at one point or another is going to have to deal with defilement. Everyone is going to have to deal with being unclean. Death's going to touch every family. And so the ordinance of the red heifer is given here in Numbers chapter 19. The ashes from this heifer, along with some other things, were mixed with water. And that water would be sprinkled, the water mixed with the ashes would be sprinkled upon the person that was defiled, the tent that was defiled, and all the things that had become defiled. That would happen on the third day, and on the seventh day, it would be cleansed. This is the ordinance.
This touched everybody. Everybody. Everyone would face it. Everyone would lay in the tent and be with their father when he died, and their mother when she died. And this seems odd, but to even be in the tent with your father and to hold his hand as he passed, that would make you defiled, because you wouldn't be in the tent with the unclean. Number two, the observance. The observance. You see, this passage shows us the need of cleansing from the defilements of our journey. There's not a one of us that doesn't get defiled. This is something that touches each one of them, and this is something that touches each one of us. You're not going to live in this world and not get yourself a little bit defiled. You're not going to live in this world and see the things that you've got to see every day and live in these places that we've got to live and it not affect us and it not rub off a little bit, and we become defiled on our journey. You say, but man, they didn't even have a choice. This was just something. I mean, it was all around them. They couldn't help it. You know, that's kind of how it is in our world today. I mean, you can't go anywhere. I mean, you can't be anywhere for any length of time and not see something and not hear something and not be around something that's defiling either to your eyes, to your mind, to your ears. We get defiled on this journey too. You see, this ride we're on gets us dirty. I mean, it really, really gets us dirty. I'm just talking about simple defilements of life. Now, there is one thing that I would need to address. We're talking about defilements and the defilements that each believer sees and each believer faces. There are some things that the Bible says should never be named among Christians. All right. When we talk about getting defiled in the way, that is not our excuse and that is not our free reign to be anything that we want to be and do anything that we want to do. The Bible says there's some things that should never be named amongst the Lord's people. I mean, we're talking about sinful things. We're talking about wickedness and vile things of this world. Just to name a few, we should be spotless and separated and clean from the things of this world. I'm talking about the defilements that we see and that we face. I'm telling you, I can't get away from it. You just can't get away from these things. Obviously, many of you gentlemen, maybe even some of you ladies, work. If you work anywhere the same place, like the same place that I worked before we went to Willow Hill, I worked at a factory. I'm telling you, there's not a day that goes by that I know that many of you men and you women don't hear profanity or hear dirty jokes. I understand and know that you can't watch a ball game on TV and, somebody will call the timeout real quick. And before you can even get to the remote, the beer or the underwear commercials are coming on next on the television. You say, well, can you do some things about that? Listen, you can't walk around Walmart without seeing somebody half dressed. And you just can't walk around in this world and not get a little bit defiled on this journey. I mean, we get dirty sometimes, and there seems sometimes like there are things that are inevitable. You live in this world, and there are things that you see here and are a part of. Man, it wears you down, and it messes you up. And that's how the children of Israel must have felt. You're telling me that I'm going to be unclean and defiled for holding the hand of my father while he's dying in the tent? This is something that, yes, it seems inevitable, and something that each family must face. And we face the same things in this world. There's not a one of us that walks around and doesn't get dirty. And that's where this passage comes in on the importance of regularly cleaning up and spending time with the Lord and having times where we just get clean. Listen, I don't have to look for dirty. It finds me. Okay? I mean, I live in this world too. I'm not so foolish to think that I got to go out there and just look for something filthy to get into. It'll find me on its own. You know, preachers, when they go places to preach, show their age. And I guess I can show mine the opposite way. My generation is the Facebook generation, okay? All the stuff on the internet and the MySpaces and the Facebook and all that kind of thing. I see some of you smiling, know where I'm going with this already. You know, I have seen on believers, on stuff that they get on there and post all those kind of things, I've seen things on believers' pages that you could swear you were looking at a lost person.
Right.
Things that they talk about, words that they use. You know, you can look on someone's information, and you can look at the TV shows that they watch, and they just put it out there for you to see. I mean, the music that they listen to and the groups that they like. I'm just telling you, I don't have to look for it. I don't have to look for it. It's everywhere. I don't spend a day in this world that something doesn't get into my mind or get into my eyes. You say, well, quit looking for it. I don't have to look for it. It finds me. I mean, it finds me. I don't even have to try. That's the problem with this world. I mean, we get so dirty and so filthy because that's how this world is. You can't avoid getting the smell of death on your fingers in this world. And it has an effect on us. Well, I was just inside the tent. I just stepped in for a second. I saw that he had passed on, and I stepped back outside. That's how that works, though. It doesn't take much time to be around this world, and it affects you. I mean, it affects even the believer, the ones that are close to the Lord Jesus Christ. It has an effect. You say, I didn't touch him. But the smell is still there, and it still does, but it does affect us. Turn with me to the book of John, chapter 13. John, chapter 13. So can I ask you tonight, would you be willing this evening to take inventory and honestly examine yourselves and tell me, or just tell yourselves what you're doing on a regular basis, maybe even on a daily basis, to stay cleaned up in this world? You don't have to tell me what you're doing to get dirty. I got a feeling if you're anything like me, I know how you get dirty. Because you just can't go anywhere without it. I mean, you get defiled. You see in here and all things in this world, man, they're defiling to us. You don't have to tell me what you're doing to get dirty. I want to know what you're doing to stay cleaned up. I want to know what you're doing to stay on the right track, to stay on the right page. And when you get defiled and get out of the way, what you're doing to stay faithful and consistent and committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look with me here in John chapter 13. Jesus Christ addresses this same issue. John 13 and verse number 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, then while you're there, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. The allusion here is to the old school style of cleanliness and cleansing as far as the public baths and what was offered in each home. In the old days, they didn't have baths in every home. They had the public bath. And you may know this, but each person would go down to a different place that was usually never in their own home. They would go there and they would get cleansed. There they would wash their entire body. Well, then they would walk back home. When they got back home, they didn't have to take another bath again. But by the time they had walked back home, their feet had already gotten dusty again from the desert floor. That's why it was a common courtesy in the old days that you would have a wash bowl at the entrance of your house so that your guest could take his sandals off and wash his feet. That's why when you come to Luke chapter 7, Jesus Christ is disgusted with that Pharisee. He said, you didn't even offer me water to wash my feet when I came into your house. That was just a courtesy. That was just something that, it was common to do. And Jesus Christ is coming here in this passage and he's going to wash his disciples' feet. And Peter doesn't understand it at first. Lord, you're washing my feet. And then the Lord says, yes. The Lord's going to wash his disciples' feet. And Peter says in verse number 8, you're not going to wash my feet. You're not going to wash my feet, Lord. And what does the Lord say? If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Listen, if I don't wash your feet, if I don't get that dirtiness off your feet, if I don't get you cleaned up, then you're not going to have part with me in this. You see, to really get into the work of the Lord, I mean, you got to stay cleaned up. You have got to be right. You got to stay cleaned up from this world, or you're not going to be able to have a part in this work. And that's when Peter says, oh man, well, Lord, if that's the way it is, then wash my hand, wash my head as well. Now the Lord says, Peter, I don't need to do that. When they came back from the baths, they didn't have to get another bath again. But they did need to clean up the body parts that had gotten defiled. That's why the Lord says in there in verse number 10, he that is washed, okay, you've already been down to the public bath. He that's washed needeth not save to wash his feet. Now he's clean, You know, every time you sin, you don't have to get saved again, right? You don't have to get saved every time you do something wrong. I'm telling you what, but you get out there in this world and you get defiled, you got to get yourself cleaned up. You got to get clean. You got to wash your feet. And those parts of you that get defiled, you have got to start washing up and stay clean from this world. Because the Lord says, if you don't wash, you don't have part with me. If I don't wash your feet, you're not going to have part with me. So we've got to be careful. We have got to stay clean in this world. We have got to stay clean. If we really, really want to be effective for the Lord, you say, I'm saved. I understand that. I'm saved too. But I know that if I go a few days, it don't take very long for the things that I see and the things that come into my mind and the things that come across my email page. I mean, it doesn't take long at all for me to get off track, for things to get in my mind. And I'm telling you what, I got to get back in this thing and I got to get with the Lord Jesus Christ. I know I'm saved. I'm telling you what, it don't take long for me to get dirty though. I don't have to get another bath, but I got to wash these feet. Man, I got to get this stink off my feet. I want to be part of this. I want to be part of what the Lord's doing. I don't want to miss out because I got dirty feet all the time. Yeah, my body's washed. Yeah, I'm clean. And I know what lays ahead of me in the future. But I'm telling you, like we mentioned last night, I want these feet clean. I want part of it now. I want part of the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Right now. So tonight, gut check. What are you doing to stay close to the Lord? What are you doing every day? You don't have to tell me if you're getting defiled. I already know you are. Because I know that I am. I know what goes on in this world. And I know that the minute you step outside your house, sometimes you wish you hadn't. And I've got precious little eyes in our house. And the things that I see, I know that they're going to see them. And maybe even to an nth degree farther as the world gets worse and worse. So what are we doing to stay clean? What are we doing to stay close to the Lord? Now go with me to Psalm 119. Just where you sit tonight, this only works if you'll be honest and you'll honestly examine your own selves. What are you doing? What are you doing tonight to stay close to the Lord? Psalm 119 and verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How are we going to do this? How are we going to get ourselves cleaned up? Yeah. By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. That's what water is in the scripture. I mean, water is a symbol of the word. It's the symbol of the word of God. And how's a young man going to cleanse his way? I mean, I'm not talking about just from sin, but man, just from the defilements of this world, from the things that you see and the things. How am I going to get back on track? How am I going to not let these things affect me so much? This is it right here. I'm telling you, I would challenge you to read one chapter for every curse word you hear every day. Tell me how long it takes you to read the entire Bible if you'll read one chapter for every cuss word you hear. Yep. How long would it take? Not long at all. Every time you saw anything above the knee revealed, or midsection revealed, or chest revealed on television, you read a chapter. You'd spend more time in the Word than you'd even be watching the TV. You'd be spending more time in God's word than you would even be spending out in the world. You say, that's it. I mean, that's the answer. I mean, that's the answer right there. More time in God's word is really what counteracts the defilements of this world. Now, if you're here in Psalm 119, go with me to verse 105. Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Amen. Get it? Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. Notice what that does not say. The word of God is not a flashlight. Okay? The word of God is not something that you take and say, hey, I'm going here. No, the word is a lamp to my feet. Listen, this path is lighted. This path has God's direction. This path is safe. This way right here is where God's word shines and where the light shines. The word of God is not a flashlight. Well, I'm going to go this way, and I'm just going to take the word of God with me and hope nothing gets, I don't get into trouble. Listen, God's word has lighted this way. This is the path of righteousness. This is the way that you got to go. Is it any wonder that the farther you get this way, the more darkness there is, and the more affected you get, and the more dirty you get? It's because we kind of try to take the word of God like a flashlight. We're going to go this way, and hopefully we'll take our Bible with us, and hopefully it'll all work out. No, Thy word is a light unto my path. This is the path that is light. Put your feet on this path and you'll have light.
Amen.
If you'll
Amen.
Keep going this way, you'll find that that path is light. That path, there's direction. That path right there is the word of God and something that will guide you. It's got to be God's word. Ephesians chapter 5.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 5. What are you doing each day to keep close to the Lord? We're all getting defiled. We all get dirty. And that's why you have found that the longer you go away from God's word, the easier it is to stay away from God's word. If you go 2 days without reading your Bible and then spending time in devotion and with the word of God, 2 days shortly becomes four, and it's not long before it's a week. And if it becomes easy to do one time, it's much easier to do it the second time. Ephesians 5:26. Well, verse 25, he's spoken to husbands to love their wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might cleanse or sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. You know how God cleans you up? I mean, he uses his word. I mean, look at everything else that is in this world. Is there anything else out there that it looks like the Lord's using to clean you up? Everything else out there is messing you up. But you, when you come into God's house and you spend time around God's word, you just feel this cleansing power to it. You feel that as you hear God's word preached and you see that it's reflecting who you are and the difficulties and struggles and defilements of your life. Man, the word of God, it cleans you up.
Amen.
And that's what the Lord uses. And that's why it is so important for you and God's word to have quite a bit of time together.
Amen.
Tell me about you and God's word. What are you doing every day to keep close to the Lord? What role does the word of God play in your life? Does it have a daily role? I mean, is the word of God something that is with you every single day? Is the word of God something that plays a part? I mean, does it have your attention? Does it have your obedience? I know the other things in the world that have my attention. I mean, if you're anything like me, you've got to check your email every day. Right? You got to check your email every day. You got to know what's going on. You got to check foxnews.com and see what's going on in the world every day. I mean, I'm seeing heads nod. I think you're like me. I'm telling you what, you got to have some of God's word in there too. I'm telling you what, I've turned on conservative news station and seen things I didn't want to see. And I'm finding out things and seeing things go on in this world. And I got to get cleaned up. I got to get cleaned up. I spend too much time on that computer, and I mean, I got to get in God's word. And you'll find that when you don't, don't you just feel dirty? You just feel it. You feel dirty. What role does the word of God play in your life? Back to Numbers chapter 19. Numbers chapter 19. Number three, let me give you some of the dangers of defilement. Let me give you the three dangers that are given here of being defiled. Three dangers that happen when you don't clean, when you don't get cleaned up. Three dangers. Number one, you learn that this defilement doesn't go away. Numbers chapter 19, verse 12. He shall purify himself with it on the third day, and on the seventh day he shall be clean. But if he purify not himself the third day, then the seventh day he shall not be clean. You see, you learn this defilement doesn't go away. Pretending it didn't happen and pretending it doesn't happen doesn't help. I mean, you can pretend all day long that I don't see those kind of things in the world. And those kind of things don't affect me. You know, those kind of things in the world don't affect me. You know what Paul told the Corinthians there in chapter 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33? Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupt good manners.
Right.
And I think that that's interesting that Paul says right there, be not deceived. It's kind of like that when you precede something by saying, let me be honest with you. You know, you shouldn't have to say that because people should assume you're being honest. But when you say, man, let me be honest with you, you're really getting ready to hit something home. And Paul says, be not deceived. I think it's because what he's getting ready to say, a lot of people are deceived about.
Yeah.
Don't get deceived about this. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Not me.
Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupt good manners. I'm not my family.
Be not deceived. This isn't going to go away. I'm telling you, you can pretend and act like the defilements of this world don't bother you. And you can pretend like everything's hunky-dory and that this world doesn't get a hold of your life and try to drag you down. But you and I both know in the depths of our hearts what's real in this world. And that we struggle. And that this world has got defilements that tear us up. And there are times that we get away from the Lord, and for 2, 3, 4 days at a time, my Lord, I hope that it's not more like a week or two. And I found that some Christians go that long without spending time with the Lord.
Right.
Spending any time with it. I'm talking about Bible. I'm talking about prayer. I'm talking about the simple things. But go so long without any time with the Lord. Well, I'm busy getting defiled. I know we're busy. I'm busy too. Man, we get busy. You got to make time. You can't pretend that this isn't real. He says, if you don't take care of this on the third day, don't be fooled. You get to the seventh day, you're not going to be clean. You say, well, I just stepped inside the tent. I don't think that I got to go all the way out to the tree and got to get those ashes and mix them with water. I don't think I got to do all that. All I did was step inside the tent. I mean, all I did was let the body down into the grave. I really wasn't even a part of it for that long. He says, if you don't get this thing taken care of, it's not going to go away.
Amen.
You got to get it taken care of. Well, that happened days ago. We've all seen that these things happen little by little. And that folks get away from the Lord little by little. And what you found people that today aren't in church and aren't serving the Lord, and the first step that they took was over nothing that seemed that important. Just little things. And they had gotten away little by little, and today they're not faithful, and they're not serving the Lord. Because that's how that happens. You see, would we believe? Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 5. Would you believe me? Could you honestly look into your heart and tell me, would you believe me if I told you that you could be just days from living in sin? You could be just days from living in sin.
Amen.
You say, I don't know. I mean, I'm faithful and I go to church and I mean, I'm a good guy. I don't think, you know, days from now I could be living in sin. You know what the Bible says? He was the sweet psalmist of Israel. And he was the man after God's own heart. And he killed a man because he slept with his wife and got her pregnant. The sweet psalmist.
Yeah.
The man on God's throne for God's people. The same man that said, I'll never deny you. And wow, this is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He swore up and down, I don't know that guy. I don't know what you're talking. No, you didn't see me with him. Listen, I'm not nearly the caliber of a man of David. I mean, I'm talking about what they did. Listen, are you a David? I'm not a David. Man, that guy, he was awesome. David was a great king. And David, like Peter, bitterly wept over what he did. And you read his psalm of confession and repentance. And I'm not nearly the man of a caliber of David. So if a guy like that could get away from the Lord, What am I capable of? How far away can I get? There's no reason to trust this flesh and to trust that it's going to be stronger than men like Peter and men like David. There's no reason for me to trust that I'm above this and to pretend that this doesn't happen to me. I mean, if I pretend that I don't get defiled and I'm okay, and because I'm going to church and because I am reading my Bible every now and then and because I'm doing things that good pastors ought to do, these kind of things don't happen to me. Listen, it doesn't help to pretend that. If you're here in Isaiah chapter 5, this is the story of Jehovah's vineyard. Isaiah 5 verse 1. Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard and a very fruitful hill. And he fenced it, gathered out the stones thereof, and planted it with the choicest vine. He built a tower in the midst of it and also made a wine press therein. And he looked at that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I'll take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. You know, the Lord says, man, what more could I have done to protect this thing and build these hedges around it and protect it and build this vineyard? I've done everything to make this thing fruitful, and now it's producing wild grapes. You know what the Lord says he's going to do? I'm going to let this hedge down. You know, the Lord did not have to destroy the vineyard. He didn't have to send foxes. He didn't have to send snakes. He didn't have to send the critters of the world to get after it. All he had to do was let down the hedge, and those things were going to be there to jump right on it. You know, the Bible says that that's how the devil is. He's like a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. You know what the Lord, you know what the devil's looking for? He's looking for your life and hedges that have been let down. You think that the worst thing in the world is for some tragedy to hit in our lives. Here's the worst thing that can happen. The Lord simply to let down one of the barriers. I mean, you've got guards in your life and things that would protect you if you would keep these walls strong and sturdy. Listen, the Lord doesn't have to send a rattlesnake. I mean, all you've got to do is let down the guard. All you've got to do is let down the wall. And I'm telling you what, it's no time. And those babies will be in there. And you'll wake up and the vineyard will be destroyed. Then you'll say, what happened? You're going to look and see that wall that was let down. And that's all that it took.
Amen.
And here over here, you got three walls that look like they're strong and look like they're standing intact. But it just takes that one wall to let it down. You start letting down the walls in your life. You start letting down your commitment to the Lord. You start letting down the time that you spend with the Lord. You start letting down on your family. You start letting down on your commitments. You start letting down on the things that are important in God's service. And you'll find it won't be long. It's not going to go away. Those walls are let down. And then the vineyard was destroyed. So get cleaned up. Get cleaned up. Can I challenge you tonight? Keep those walls strong. He doesn't have to send a hailstorm to destroy the vineyard. He doesn't have to send a tornado to destroy the vineyard. You just let one wall in your life down. You just let one wall down, and you'll see what happens. Man, keep those walls strong. Numbers 19. Let me get to these last couple very quickly. The first danger of defilement, it doesn't go away. Now here's the second danger, defiling the sanctuary. Numbers 19, verse 13. Whosoever toucheth the dead body of any man that is dead, purifieth not himself, defileth the tabernacle of the Lord. Verse 20, Numbers 19, verse 20. But the man that shall be unclean and shall not purify himself, that soul shall be cut off from among the congregation because he hath defiled the sanctuary of the Lord. You see, when you don't keep your life clean, you run the risk of defiling the entire sanctuary. I mean, you really do. I mean, if the story in Joshua chapter 7 tells us anything, okay? If the story of Achan tells us anything, it's that one man could lead to the downfall of an entire nation. It's that one man getting away from the Lord, one man in disobedience, one man in rebellion, brings it into the entire sanctuary. I mean, you look through the Old Testament, you read in the book of Exodus, we don't have time to get there for each one, but it's chapter 30. And as the Lord gives instructions for Moses about building the tabernacle and to build this brazen laver, this wash pot where they could go after they had made these sacrifices, and they had gotten the filth of those sacrifices and the dust all over their hands, before they could go from the sacrifice into the presence of the Lord, they had to stop by that laver, wash their hands, wash their feet. And the Lord says in Exodus chapter 30, lest they die, they could not come into the Lord's house and have fellowship with the Lord. Why? Because they were dirty. You say, what were they doing? They were making sacrifices. You say, well, you can't make a sacrifice. You can't make a sacrifice without getting dirty. It's inevitable. I know it's inevitable. And it's inevitable for you to live in this world and not get dirty and not get a little messed up and not get a little affected by it. So what do? Before you come in for fellowship, you got to stop and get cleaned off. And if 1 Corinthians chapter 5, doesn't it say that even a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump?
Amen.
Told our people that they owe it to each other. And I just want to tell you as a church, look around at the faces of each church member from Olmsted Baptist Church that's here. You owe it to each other to be right with the Lord. You know, when we observe the Lord's Supper at our church, 1 Corinthians chapter 5 talks about them coming together. So it does so in chapter 10 as well. They come in to take the Lord's Supper. And Mandy makes a loaf and it goes around to each one. And I said, now what if it comes to you? And the illustration in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 is fornication. That plate comes to you and you've been out fornicating. What about everybody else that's got to pinch off that bread after you? You see, it's come to you and you've defiled the entire loaf. And there's some people that have come tonight and they came to take the Lord's Supper and they've examined themselves. They want to be right with God and they want to do what the Lord wants. And here they are and their hearts are broken thinking about all that Christ has done for them in the body and the blood. And you've defiled the loaf because you're out there fornicating and living in the world and living ungodly and living in sin. And you've come in and you haven't been honest about it. You haven't gotten your life right about it. And you've defiled the entire loaf for everybody. You owe it to each other. Olmsted Baptist Church. You've come in and you've given each other your prayer requests. You know, Brother Stephen gives Brother Jim his prayer request. And Brother Jim says, I'm praying for you. Doesn't he owe it to Brother Stephen then? You know, maybe what if Brother Jim's got unconfessed sin and all he's doing is bouncing prayers off the ceiling? He's promised this guy he's praying for him. He's promised this guy that he's there for him and got his back. But he's got unconfessed sin and the Lord's not hearing him and he's not right with the Lord. And here you've got this guy that's dependent on him and trusting that everyone is praying for him. We owe this to each other. You as a body, the Bible says you're one loaf. And a little leaven leavens it all. You run the risk of defiling the entire sanctuary when you won't keep your life clean, when you won't stay faithful, and when you won't stay serving the Lord. You're coming in here with people that are trying to. And we owe it to each other. We owe it to each other to be faithful. Don't pinch off the same loaf of someone else. If you're not being serious, if you've not self-examined yourself, and if you're not serious about your commitment to the Lord. Wow, we do owe it to each other.
Amen.
Now lastly, Numbers chapter 19, verse 22. The third defilement, the third danger of defilement. And whatsoever the unclean person toucheth shall be unclean. You know when you got away from the Lord. Didn't you see it in your life? You got away from the Lord and nothing you did went right. There's a reason for that. Everything the unclean person touches becomes unclean. I mean, you're supposed to be blood-bought, saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, but you're not living for Him. And the one that you claim as your Lord and Savior, you're not in fellowship with Him. And then nothing in the world goes right for you. Man, it just seems like everything's falling apart. Nothing's going the way that you want it to. Why does that happen? Because everything that the unclean person touches becomes unclean. Let's finish up with the book of Haggai. Chapter 1. Haggai chapter 1. We have this lived out that everything the unclean touches becomes unclean. You come to Haggai chapter 1. The children of Israel have returned from the captivity. They had begun to build the temple, but they had left it off. They had got excited about building their own houses and they had got away from the things of the Lord and building the temple. And when they got away from the things of the Lord, stuff started messing up. Haggai chapter 1, verse 3. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Why don't you consider this, he says, verse 6. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but you're not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there's none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. The Lord says, don't you see? You got away from me. You got away from doing my work and doing what was right for me. And ever since you got away from me, nothing that you do seems to go right. He says, every time you sow, I mean, it doesn't work. You eat, but you're never filled. You drink, but you're never satisfied. You put clothes on, but you're never warm. Can't you see? This was Haggai's trying to say, can't you see that ever since you got away from the Lord, everything that you touch seems to mess up? Everything that you seem to get your hand in, it doesn't seem to work out? Get back to the Lord. Consider your ways. Man, get back to the Lord. Because if you will find that when you get back to serving the Lord, chapter 2, verse 18. Consider now from this day and upward, from the 24th day of the 9th month, even from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Now consider from this day, when you got back on track, when you laid the foundation for the temple, when you started getting right again, doing right, what's verse 19 say? Is the seed yet in the barn? Yea, as yet the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree hath not brought forth. From this day will I bless you. Amen. You got away from the Lord, and Haggai says, look, you got away from the Lord and it all fell apart. And it all started messing up. And here's what he says at the end of chapter 2. You've gotten back. You've laid the foundation of the temple. You've got back right with the Lord and are serving him. From this day, now everything's going to be blessed. Everything that the unclean touches shall be unclean. Can I ask you one more time tonight? For their sake, for his sake, what are you doing to stay clean? Maybe tonight needs to be cleanup time. You've gotten away from the Lord and nothing's been seeming to go right since. You've been dishonest maybe with your brothers and sisters. And you've been getting into some defilements. And I don't know what each personal life holds, what you've been getting into. Maybe you've just been getting away. Maybe you're into some bad stuff that you ought not be. Maybe there's some things that you need to get right tonight with each other, with your church, with your pastor, with a family member. Maybe there's some phone calls that you need to make tonight after church. I don't know what it is. I'm telling you what. Until we consider our ways, until we get cleaned up, we won't see the blessing of the Lord like we would see if we stay clean. There's water and there's ashes there that were ready for their cleaning. Always remember, from the side of the Lord Jesus Christ, not only flowed blood, but water. And there is some cleansing power that is there. If you'll stay close to the Lord Jesus Christ and keep your life clean, serving the Lord, you will find a great blessing and find great service opportunity available.